Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it. But nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio Success Express Business and Career Show. So San Diego employment attorney Ward Heinrichs comes on our show every fourth Wednesday. So it's Wednesdays with Ward. We love it. And he's back on the show today to talk about the newly passed Fast Recovery Act for fast food workers. He was on the show a few months ago talking about it and it was a big deal, but it's really a big deal now that it is passed. It's a big deal for the workers. And I have to say this before we bring him on. He said so, and he wants me to make sure to say that he said so because his predictions always come right. He's right about this. He knows. And you can go to his website, bestemploymentattorneysandiego.com. See, I don't even have to look at my notes for this, Ward. How are you? Welcome back.
You just rifled that off so well. It's amazing. Good
it's
job.
It's the best domain name. I always tell everybody, Ward has the best domain name on the, he's, you know, he knows his domain and he's aggressive in court, right?
Super aggressive.
I added in court. I said in court. I was really good. Yes. But this, let's talk about this, the Fast Recovery Act. Can you just give everybody an overview? Because it did change the, I didn't want to say in its passing, that sounds bad, but it did change up a little bit from when you first came on the show, but give everyone just an overview of what it is.
Yeah, and there were some significant changes. I'm sure we'll get into those. But the genesis of it was to get the fast food industry some common regulations about all parts of the fast food industry, you know, health and safety, wages, training, you know, many, many different things. And so what they did was they put this council together, or the law allows for a council to be appointed, mostly by the governor, that will take into consideration all those different aspects of the fast food industry, you know, the health and safety, the wages, et cetera, and will pass new regulations on that within the confines of the law, which is the Fast Recovery Act.
So basically it is like, because even this, it's like having a council, say, and people from the fast food industry will be part of it, right? Some actual workers are part of this. So it's not just the muckety mucks.
So no, absolutely.
And this was the important part of it.
This is real close to union representation. It's not quite the same, but it's more like what they do in Europe, where they have sector unionization and union representation. So it's not quite that same thing as union representation, but it's there. It's a sector-wide, meaning fast food industry is a sector, mechanism for representation of the workers in fast food industry.
Okay.
So now when they're going to pick a couple, right? Fast food workers to do this.
Yeah.
How
All
does
right.
this happen? I mean, yes. Would you want to be the person who puts their hand up saying, I want to represent? I mean, there's always the hall monitor, right?
Well, yeah. All right. So the way they did this was really interesting. They changed it up from the original legislation that, you know how legislation is, it's sausage when it comes out. It's like grinding up sausage.
You said sausage. Sausage Day is coming up October 1st. Sorry, continue on.
Yeah, okay.
And
Boy,
it's
I hope
fast
I can remember
sausage.
What I was talking about. Oh, no,
I know,
I do.
So, yeah, how they think.
So this council is made up of 10 different representatives. Mm-hmm. And there are 8 of those representatives are appointed by the governor, and 2 of them are appointed by the legislature is one of them. And then there's another agency that's related to the governor and economics that also appoints one of these people. So the 10 people are, well, there's actually six groups, I would call it, but two of those of 10 belong to are representatives of what they call the franchisee. Then two more are representatives of the franchisor. And then two further representatives are representative of the employees that do fast food work. And then there's two more who are advocates for the employees in the fast food industry. I'm not sure the difference. I'm thinking those two are probably union people, but I'm not sure. And then there's a representative from the Division of Labor. And then there's a representative from the, again, the Governor's Council of Economics and Welfare, something like that.
So how did they choose them?
What you end up having, well, yeah, now this is the interesting part. What you end up having is the governor, who does favor employees generally, appointing eight of those people, and four of them are for the franchisor or the franchisee. So that's the business side. But right. I'm just wondering where you find that group. Do the franchise say, hey, we want this guy? And the governor goes, nah, I'm going to pick this guy. I have no idea how that's going to work.
He's going to drive through McDonald's and say, hey, yo, want to come work over here?
Are they the representative of the franchisor? I don't know. I don't think, I have to look at the legislation again. I did read it. But I don't think they defined what a representative is. I'm really sure they didn't. But just to be sure, I'd have to look again.
Yeah, but, I think it's a weird, it's cool.
It sounds like a union because two representatives of fast food employees. Well, who represents employees other than a lawyer?
Well, this is for the fast
food union.
Yeah. Right.
Who's going to represent the employees?
I think it's important that they do have a voice because from what I've heard, there are a lot of them, because this is kind of an interesting thing right now. Because there's people who go, well, fast food should be for people stepping up, like it should be for teenagers, having a quick job on the side, college students, that kind of thing. But our country has seen a shift in, and there's a shift in industry. And we have to remember that. It's like we've gone from coal to solar. We've gone from print magazines to digital. I mean, you've got to think about where our not just this country, but this world has been. And so there's people in the middle that have kind of, they're in the middle of it and people are living longer. I mean, you see most Walmart greeters are retirees. I was talking to a guy in a grocery store, a high-end grocery store actually. And he's like, no, I'm just, he's checking people out for just, I went out of the house and he can make a little money on the side because people are living longer. So when it comes to fast food, this is no longer just teenagers out of school or in school learning a job and making some pocket money. So there's been a pushback from a lot of people about that kind of thing. But the reality is our country has shifted. And so there are people that this is their job and they don't have the medical insurance. They don't have the wages to actually really keep their family afloat. And depending on where you live, that might be your only way to have a job, depending on your situation. So that's, I think, part of why this Fast Recovery Act is there, because we're finding a bigger swath of ages inside that industry than it used to be. And I know because we travel. Yeah. And it's
I would agree with that. I think back in the day, when I remember going to McDonald's and Burger Chef in Indiana, there was a thing called Burger Chef.
You have In-N-Out in San Diego. Everyone's jealous of that.
Oh, yeah. In-N-Out's pretty darn good. I like Carl's Jr. too. But honestly, I don't hit fast food very often because it just sticks to your ribs. But
yeah, anyway. It's not good. Yeah.
Anyway, when I remember back in the day, there were permanent employees working for these places, mm-hmm. but they were usually managers or at least mm-hmm. assistant managers instead of older people, more experienced people doing that. But now I have seen whenever I do go through a line to get my daughter some French fries at McDonald's, some older people right there at the counter and handing food through the window. So I think you're right that, I mean, you know, I haven't read much about it. I've read a little bit about it, and the anecdotal evidence I'm giving does seem to match what's being written about.
And people getting some help is not a bad thing. I just think it's a shift, and they needed a way to avoid. But I think what Nancy was getting to is this is an interesting thing, not just for the fast food industry, if there's going to be this in between, because I know they're talking about this Fast Food Recovery Act going beyond California. Of course, California starts New York, Washington, like we always talk about on the show. But could this be a lightning rod for other industries that are underrepresented?
Well, that's one thing people are thinking is in the future. But more immediately, they are talking about this Fast Recovery Act or something very similar to it for fast food industry migrating to other states. And they mentioned Washington, Oregon, and New York, Eastern Seaboard. So that's probably where you see it next. And I think you're going to. And we'll just see what the legislation really is there and how big the trend is.
And so health benefits are part of it. What about minimum wage? How does this affect minimum wage, that as minimum wage has been increasing every year, right? As we talked over the shows, is this going to change minimum wage? How does that affect it? Because I know, isn't there just like a standard already for California?
There is a standard already. And what we're, the standard we have right now in place is $14 an hour statewide for employers of 25 or fewer employees and $15 an hour for employers who have 26 or more employees. The whole state is supposed to go to $15 an hour, no matter what size of employer you are, next year. So everyone's going to be 15. But I just read something that said that they're already doing a cost of living increase. And it's actually going to be $15.50 next year for everyone in California. But that doesn't include different cities that may have higher minimum wages than that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because isn't the federal rate, like, that's the low of the low, like, you have to do that. But if different states want to pay more or can pay more, then that's what's going to happen.
That's true.
When the feds will step in is when, okay, now you've violated federal law.
Which does happen. Sometimes the same violation at a workplace will violate both federal and state law. But more often in California, you see just a violation of state law since California offers employees more benefits.
Yeah, so California can say, hey, this is what you're going to do. And then even city versus like Julian versus San Diego, like Julian up in the mountains versus San Diego. Mm-hmm. Julian's unincorporated, Hummel, Hacumba, Alpine, you're all unincorporated. And then it comes out to San Diego proper where you are, like that's two different laws.
Yes. Depending. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So most wage too, is it the same for?
Well, minimum wage and sick leave are usually the things that are different in municipalities. And in San Diego, the San Diego minimum wage is $15 an hour, no matter what size the employer is. So if you're inside the city, that's what it is. And there's also a larger minimum number of sick days that are afforded employees too in San Diego. It's actually twice as much. It's 40 hours at state level it's 24 hours or 3 days at the state level and 40 hours or 5 days at the city level.
And then with this Fast Recovery Act, did I read correctly? And everyone, Ward's got a follow-up article to this on blendradioandtv.com. So just type in Fast Recovery, type in Ward, you'll find all kinds of articles and interviews. But did I read correctly that this could make the minimum wage for fast food employees go over $20?
Yes, you did. So the legislation—
That's a big jump. Like, I'm serious. Mm-hmm. That's pretty massive.
It is. And I have to say, I'm just thinking, what about the other industries that aren't fast food related that are sitting there thinking, well, if you work fast food restaurant, maybe you'll get $22 an hour next year.
I'm not picking vegetables
anymore. I can only get 15.
Yeah,
trust me. Yeah,
that doesn't sound right to me. It sounds very.
Is that $23? $22?
I don't know what would be the word for it. It's not sexist or racist. It's categorizationist. You know, it's
yeah. Like, or yeah, just because, or just damned expensive for labor. I mean,
but it doesn't seem like just because you don't work in fast food that you should get less of a minimum wage. Because
that's not what this is about. It's if you work in fast food industry, you'll get an increased minimum wage potentially. Now, here, let me explain.
Okay.
The law includes an excess or an amount of minimum wage that's potential beyond what the minimum wage is for the rest of the state, wherever. And a city could make it even larger if they want to, but none have. So it'd be the ceiling that the legislature set on that for fast food workers is $22 an hour. So when the council convenes, one thing they'll probably talk about is increasing the minimum wage for fast food workers, and that'll be a different minimum wage than any other worker in the state. Now, of course, the city may match it. Who knows? I don't know. But they could increase it way beyond what the largest minimum wage I've seen is in Berkeley and another city up in the Bay Area. That's $17.10. So it's very... Well, it's a possibility that the council could say, hey, we want to make it $18. So they'll be fast food workers, if that's the case, will have an $18 hour minimum wage. It'll be greater than any other minimum wage in the whole state.
Wow. This is interesting. But that doesn't really
make sense.
Well, it's hard. You know what? Like what I was listening to,
because
some of the cases I've heard is people, they can't afford to go to the dentist. They can't afford to.
Well, I know, but why? Okay. Only fast food work. Cause it seems to me that it should be for all of
everyone.
That's why the minimum wage thing was there as a general, like lift to everybody.
No,
but this is a specific bill just for fast food workers because they're realizing people, that is their job now. You know, people go in and they're working fast food. I mean, that's why I was saying about, it's not just kids. It's not a part-time job for teenagers getting pocket money anymore. It's changed. And it depends on where you live, you know, for these. And this also changes according to how big the company is, which that was another change that I noticed in the bill, right?
Yeah,
so like it's not just specifically, didn't McDonald's kind of beat down on this a little bit or whatever?
Well, I'm sure they weren't in favor, and there were many franchisors who were advocating against it, and
because it was targeted at the big brands basically, and I think
mostly
they...
Well, if you recall the original legislation that came out of the assembly, which is like the House of Representatives, it's very similar. Mm-hmm. They said if the franchisor had 30 or more sites, you know, different restaurants throughout the nation, then this would apply. Now they've said they've raised it to 100 or more, which to me probably is fairer because, you know, the mom and pops are going to have a much harder time with that. And, you know, 30, 100, you know, I don't know. But it sounds like that there's going to be some breaks for small businesses that probably really do need it, because it will increase their costs pretty dramatically.
Yes. Yeah, it will.
Because there's fast food shops that, you know, just are mom and pop. Like we talked about Angelo's last time you were on talking. I still want my Angelo's burger from San Diego.
We were talking about it, but I've never been to Angelo's.
Dude.
I gotta go.
At least the last time we were there.
And their workers will be paid much better by the time I go.
Yeah, and maybe that.
Well, not them, because they don't have 100 different restaurants in the nation.
See, that's it. That's the thing.
Is it going to be where someone who works in a hospital is paid less than someone who works?
She went to the hospital last time. She's back at the hospital thing.
Well, there's a difference in.
I think actually hospitals are going to be out of it because there's really not a franchise for hospitals.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I don't think that's a big problem there. But there are some of these things are defined will exclude, for instance, restaurants that are inside a grocery store. So the, no matter if they have a thousand of those throughout the country, they won't be part of this. They won't be affected by the fast
food. Okay, what about Starbucks inside a grocery store?
Starbucks, well, yeah, oh, interesting.
Starbucks, they're over 100.
They're over 100, easy. So I don't think that's going to, all right. So let's say there's, now, very interesting though, a Starbucks in a grocery store, if they serve food, maybe. Very interesting. I hadn't thought of that.
They have buns and stuff.
They have their own problems lately.
Well, but grocery stores have delis. Like Safeway has a deli.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel anytime.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it. But nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
This is the perfect time to turn your creative ideas into a sustainable business. I'm Miriam Shulman, author of the new book and audiobook, Artpreneur. This is the step-by-step guide for creatives to transform your passion into a profitable business. Artpreneur is the artist handbook and your first step to developing a life of creative and financial freedom. Order your copy today, artpreneurbook.com.
Yeah, and my understanding, again, you know, I just read it and I'm not sure of all the details, but my understanding was, well, if you have a restaurant and a grocery store, you're exempt. But, you know, they defined it very carefully. So I can't say for sure that all these places are or aren't in, but I know that there's the possibility that they certainly are.
You know what? This is so fascinating because, you know, we just did upstate New York. We drove across and did every toll part of every toll road of the Eastern Seaboard across the, if there's a toll road, we did it apparently on this one trip.
Oh yeah, you got to be careful with toll roads out east.
They nailed us.
You want to pay all that money, you got to figure it out.
Dude, they nailed us everywhere we went. And I mean, apparently we were in New Jersey, Nancy. I didn't know we went to New Jersey.
It's not like they tell you before you get on.
No, they do kind of. They're like, too bad,
but
suckers.
Not really.
But anyway.
Well, you gotta know. Almost anything that's a turnpike is
lost. We knew. But I mean, I didn't. Anyway, we end up going on toll roads all in upstate New York. And it's a different system than the highways that we're used to in the West. Like you have your rest area and you can, you know, do whatever. And I always said they should have like, you know, a restaurant at the rest areas. I mean, they'd make a killing, you know. I always just think this could be commercial. Well, upstate New York, like this is one commercial highway. They have a gas station. They have a McDonald's, pizza. I mean, the restroom. They have information, like little visitor kiosks. I mean, this is like it. And we kept going, but is it like our rest areas? Like we can just stop for, you know, a couple hours, close my eyes and get back on the road. And you could. Yeah, we could, Nancy,
not
and we
really.
Did. But yeah, we could. But they had McDonald's all the way across. Mm-hmm. And we went, I think we were 10 minutes early for McDonald's to open. And he said, sorry, we're not allowed to, we're the toll McDonald's. We're not allowed to serve this at this time. And I'm like, what's that? Anyway, so we went around the parking lot and then we could go we wanted French fries early. I don't know it's the French fries again. But we were there and I'm driving and I'm going, oh my God, could you imagine? This is like there. It feels like these toll booth enterprises, which are smart. I mean, it's a smart business model, right?
Mm-hmm.
There. I mean, it's like go in, get your food, go to the bathroom, gas up. I mean, everyone's making money and it's not exactly less money. And you're getting charged toll.
It's a little more expensive.
And I'm just going to say, when you get over to Ohio, excuse me, your toll roads suck because you have potholes. But anyway, New York did good, okay? Indiana, sorry, I know you live in Indiana. Your toll roads suck too. But you've got
they don't
potholes.
Have too many in Indiana. I think there are
they
some
did where,
up north.
No,
up
this
north?
One side, it was as you're coming through this one teeny portion. I just needed to go like 2 miles and I got nailed. But anyway, pothole. We were doing fine.
Lots of potholes.
We were so fine going through New York, but as soon as Ohio, nailed us. Just pothole, traffic jams on a toll road and more expensive. But New York, clean, beautiful roads, even wildlife refuges, some of the best wildlife refuges we've been to. I'm just going to give them a big shout out.
Cool.
But it feels like you are in the middle of nowhere, but you're really not, but it's, you do feel that way. So when you think about all these workers doing the gas stations, doing, I mean, gas stations have food too, by the way, like, let's think about all those little food marts, all the Loves, those, they have fast food.
Well, hold on. Now you got to be careful about the fast food, because it's defined by a place where you pay in advance for prepared, pre-prepared food. What's the other big one? I have it right here. I'll have to read it. Immediate consumption. That was a big one. Pay in advance, prepared in advance, and no table service. So if, you know, like a 7-Eleven, maybe now, but it's so mixed, you know, I think that's more one of those, like the grocery store where you sell everything else and then you have to sell a little food. So I'm not sure 7-Eleven would be part of that, but I think it meets that definition, you know, prepared in advance.
Yeah.
I guess you don't prepay. Now you don't prepay at 7-Eleven.
There's no table place. There's no place to sit except your car.
But fast food, yeah, because fast food, you don't need to have a table. You just drive.
But if they
come
to your car with it.
It's little or no table service. So there's not much. I mean, no one comes by your table. Sometimes they'll come and give you a cup of coffee. And that's about it. And they'll wipe up after you're done. But other than that, you grab your food from the counter and you sit down and eat it. No one's waiting on you.
And you hope the bathroom is clean.
No. I'm just going to say
I think we can all hope.
So I'm going back to the New York because they had pizza, they had McDonald's, they had all of, and these were all name brands. And I'm like, damn, they're smart, you know, because they've got you. There is no real, like, if you're hungry and you didn't bring stuff, that's what you're doing. And you also feel like you should, like, you've paid this toll road, but are you on this, like, private, it's a different vibe. I should call them out. But
no, I've done, because I used, you know, I grew up in Indiana, but then we'd go to Pennsylvania where my mom had family in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So we took the toll road all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I know what it's like. I get it. And you know what? There's some beautiful places along those toll roads.
Oh, there.
Erie Canal. Like, think about Erie Canal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all along there. It's beautiful. But, I think, you know, when you think about these employees having to go in on the toll roads, I wonder if they pay their car passes to get on the toll road. I'm just saying, do employees.
It's the easy pass.
See, think about this. The
easy, might be a yeah, good
easy, easy no. pass. Yeah. And then I was just thinking, like, I bet you New York State does this. I have a funny feeling because they're going off. They're in the middle of nowhere. So it seems, you know, it feels like it, but it's not true, but it feels like it. They're having to trek more than like in a city. You know what I mean? They're trekking far to go to work at a McDonald's.
Sure.
So there's going to be some kind of something with this. So it's going to be interesting to see it move across the country. And then the next level, other.
So what you're really saying is it'll be interesting to see how legislation like the Fast Recovery Act would apply in New York under some of the circumstances you've talked about.
Yeah, and then other industries applying this too.
Like,
right.
I think this is going to be the balance between, like Nancy was saying, unions and government.
Because
this is going to be that balance.
I mean, I'm going to go back to working in a school or working in a hospital. Why should you get paid less minimum wage than a fast food worker? Why are they the special group? You know, and are they going by ability, intellect, experience, or are they just going by a classification of fast food? That's what I'm not getting here.
And I hear you on that.
Yeah.
And I also hear what Lisa's saying. Lisa's saying, well, there's, you know, some type of informal recognition that people are really making this a more permanent employment situation than what it used to be. So I get that. But I have to say my heart still is with you on this one, Nancy. It's just like, wow, do they really deserve more minimum wage than anyone else?
Listen, I know I've been picking eggplant and there's little thorny little suckers on there and it hurts.
That's not
and
fast
you're hurt,
food.
And you're getting
out.
Hurt. You get hurt with oil and whatever,
makes you a farm worker, not a fast food worker. So you get to get hurt,
but you're working
and you get
not harder. I think farm workers work really hard just because I've just been doing a little teeny weeny bit of it.
Well, but we don't know. Wait. Are farm workers minimum wage workers? I'm not sure that's true.
In some cases,
don't play attorney Ward.
No, I think in some cases they may be. But then I don't want to go into the migrant.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. I'm thinking, but this model is interesting because they do have representatives from that are actual workers. And I think that's, I want to know how that happens. I'm very curious about how that happens, how they're going to choose the workers. And
I'm not sure that they're workers. They're representative of the workers. They're not necessarily workers.
But who votes for them? I want to know who votes for the workers. I'm playing Lord of the Flies.
That could happen too. But the governor appoints these people. And so to me, I mean, the governor has the say-so. So to me, from what pools is he picking?
What if he picks two people to represent the employees who have never worked in fast food?
That could happen.
I think, I'd have to reread the legislation. It's pretty long, but I don't remember seeing anything in there about that. And my feeling is, I'm trying to be really careful about saying something that's not in there, but my feeling is that the governor really can pick anyone they want. I assume he'll be logical about it.
Well, it's kind of like the president picking his cabinet of people for certain things and his certain task force and things like that. And if you pick the wrong people, everyone's going to yell at you. So like if he goes and gets like a slow food person, like if he went for Alice Waters, it's not going to work, but actually he should. But she gives some information about restaurant work. But so that, you know, to me, we just have to watch it play out because no matter what's written down and out there, we'll have to watch it play out. I think we're going to be talking about this all next year.
I think it's going to go from California, it's going to go up the Western coast, and then it's going to move east.
Yep.
State by state by state.
Well, I'm not going to agree with you there. I don't. Really? There's so, there's
first.
Way more. Yeah, I think New York, Vermont,
Midwest,
New Jersey,
no.
New Jersey.
Okay, so it could go all the way in the country and stop at New Jersey and New York.
Well, and you see, the middle of America tends to be more conservative, and I would say this is a pretty progressive piece of legislation. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure middle America is going to buy off on this, but we'll see.
Arizona might, because Arizona is getting interesting. Arizona is a very interesting state right now. Who knows? That could
many
it
people
could
from
go.
California moved to Arizona.
I know that's what I'm saying. So people are just going to keep moving east until the law changes, and they'll all move back west again.
This is going to be interesting. But I do think that as this moves and changes, and it's probably going to have, it could go back to the table again, right? If it's not working well, and people raise up.
Yeah, there's a sunset on it. I think it's 6 years.
Yeah, that's right.
So. I think it's 2029. They revisit it.
Wow.
See, so that could happen. And at the same time, this could move on into other states and they may do it differently. And California will go, we didn't think of that. But I think other industries like grocery stores, I think grocery stores, after COVID, people started to realize what grocery store workers went through and what they did. So I see other industries like that. Certain retail in these stores doing it, you know,
maybe so. Now grocery stores, at least in San Diego, and I'm assuming throughout California, are more union representative than a lot of other sectors.
I remember Albertsons having their big strikes and people walking outside
and we still see that, you know, with certain.
They should do this for teachers.
I want to go back to this sunset.
Well, teachers are in unions, but the governor can prevent them from striking.
Really?
Then what's the point?
Well, maybe the governor says you can strike. You know, it's up to him. The reason why there's a prevention in there is, you know, you're doing a public service for the kids. You don't want to screw up the kids, so I might make.
But then I'm going to go back to hospital workers. They can't strike either. Then.
Yeah, I don't think a good question. I think the governor has a say-so in that, too. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. I've got, like, 10 questions for our next show already.
Well, seriously.
I just want to say
areas here where I'm not 100%.
Yeah, this is interesting.
But you know, before people vote, they really should think about who they're voting for. When you look at some of the balance of power and who gets to decide what and how long it lasts, I want to go back to the sunset thing. It's like 6 years. If this doesn't really work all that well, it's going to take 6 years before they even look at changing it? Or does it, I mean, does it mean they have to look at it?
All right. So normally the way those things work is it doesn't prevent the legislature from taking action in between and changing it. It's not like the same thing for 6 years, but it could be. And even if they change the legislation, there's still a 6 year period where they have to, and it might be modified a little bit. And I'm just talking generally. This mm-hmm. is generally how those things work. Mm-hmm. They'll look at the whole legislation, no matter what the amendments are, and decide whether they want to continue it, whether they need to paint it again, you know, something like that.
Okay. That's right. Better. Cause I like, well, you're stuck with it for 6 years, no matter what. I'm like,
but
that's
again, this is for fast food, you know, over 100 shops, you know? So that means some of the bigger. I mean, you're talking about the really big ones, but you're also talking about like franchises, and this is 100 just in the state or nationwide?
Nationwide.
So it could be like Angelo's expanded nationwide, but they're at the 100 mark. So not as big as McDonald's, but they're in that middle zone. They'll still call them a small business, which is weird to me. If you've got 100 shops you franchised out.
Because of franchises.
Right. No, I think you're right. The franchisor has a pretty big business, but each franchisee isn't a big business.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, it might do pretty well, but it's not a big business.
No.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing.
So fast food, before you go, Ward, what do you want on your plate? If you're going to go through a drive-through, what do you want? Like right now for dinner? Because right now it's dinner time and I keep looking at these French fries and I'm sorry, but I want malt vinegar on the French fries right now. But
that's
I can't
good too. Like malt vinegar. But you know what? I like the chips with malt vinegar better because they're just big and you get a lot of vinegar in there. And but, you know, English chips I'm talking about.
Like real English chips. Like what you did, fish and chips.
Yeah,
slop chips. That's what we used to call them. Chips. That's South African. That's South African, I think.
Oh, is that South African?
Yeah. Here they call them French fries.
Okay. Yes, it's slop and Boris.
Sloppy, because sometimes you have them where they're really fried and like that. And then there's the slop chips where they're not like hard on the edges. They're sloppy. They're mushy.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
They're not as good as what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
But my question is still pending and I'm going to answer it. So,
he's
you know me, if it's fast food, I really like Carl's Jr.
What are you doing? Are you doing the double, triple? Like, are you doing the big stacky thing? Or
well, I used to, but, you know, I've lost 25 pounds, by the way. And partly because I'm watching what I eat. Well, a lot.
Good for you.
So, I do like their burgers with jalapenos in it. And they call them different things at different times. Jalapeno bacon burger, sometimes it's called.
Oh, bacon burger. He said bacon.
I just like those. And I do prefer two patties to one, but I kind of avoid two patties anymore. But
that's a lot of
good job, though, on your health. That's awesome. I'm losing weight from picking peppers right now because I pick peppers.
Nope. Yep. Don't say it. You can't say it.
I just said it and I didn't mean it. I picked a peck of peppers. There we go. Let me
close. Nice. Well done.
Save. I had to save because I've got an aggressive lawyer on the show.
How large is a peck? How large is a peck?
It is a quart.
Oh, is it really? I didn't know that. I was going to say a pint.
Something like that. It's a pint. I think you're right. I think it's little. It's not like what I've been doing. All I know is
I'll tell you what, if it's a choice,
you guys are more English than I am. You grew up in South Africa. So
South Africa doesn't go by pecks and peppers.
No, if it's a choice between a peck and a pint, I want the pint. Thank you very much.
I just want the pint of beer, quite frankly, with a little chili pepper on the beer.
Oktoberfest is coming up.
Yes. Oh, yeah. La Mesa. Have you done La Mesa?
Oh, I like El Cajon's better. It's the German American Society. In fact, I used to belong.
Oh, cool.
And they bring a German band over. So it's a real German band. They just do it upright, and it's not nearly as big as La Mesa's.
Look at Ward Heinrichs on Instagram, you'll see.
Oh, I don't do personal things on Instagram or any of social media. I only do business stuff.
I know, but you've got your personal. Oh, did you change your photo on there? You had your Oktoberfest photo on there.
Oh, yeah, with my daughter.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yes. To go. Okay. Yeah. No, they'll see that. Yes, you're right.
Every time I see you on Instagram, I'm like, I'm going to have a beer.
No, that was fun. And now she's old enough to drink. And I actually have three daughters, and the two oldest can drink. The youngest still can't, but whatever. Maybe I'll let her have a sip.
Oh, there you go. Be nice. There it is. Don't be too aggressive on the daughters, Ward. You can do that in the court. Oh. Everyone, best employment attorney, sandiego.com. Keep up with Ward there. Also, give him a call if you have questions. He does answer a call for a consultation for free, just to see how and what everyone needs and what he can do to help. And keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Ward is here every fourth Wednesday. We always have a good time. And we always, we have 20 questions now. We went from 10 to 20 already. So we'll have to follow up. One of the very first questions will be, how was Oktoberfest this year? So we'll chat with you soon.
It'll be great.
Thanks Ward.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.